Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're going to start off this morning. For those of you that weren't with us this morning, I began this message out of Romans 7. We were talking this morning about, you know, why in the world do we do the things we know we're not supposed to do? You know, we know things are wrong, we know they're not right, and we know it's going to cause, and yet we do them anyways. And then the things that we know we're supposed to do, we don't do. And so we talked about the reason for those things is, you know, we have this sinful nature in it that's not eradicated when the Spirit of God baptizes us into the precious body of Christ. And so there's a battle, there's a struggle going on. And we talked about how the law is a good thing because it shows us what God's standards are and what He expects out of us. And it shows us that God is holy and righteous and we're not. And yet the law doesn't give us the power to transform us. But that's what the law couldn't do, Jesus did. And so we kind of dove in to that walking with the Spirit and how the walking with the Spirit and living according to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, how that law sets us free from the law of sin and death. If you remember any of this, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, tonight what I want us to do is dive a little bit deeper into that about how and what it looks like when we're walking in the Spirit. And I want to go back to this verse of Scripture as we begin to Ephesians 5:18. I think this is key. And I don't know, is everybody here tonight? Is there anybody here tonight that's completely satisfied with your walk with the Lord? That's what I thought I'd hear. And I wonder if there's anybody here that wishes that your prayer life was more passionate, that you were more consistent and more intimate with the Lord. And I wonder if, you know, have you ever thought about this? You know, when we have a financial need, why do we go to the bank to get a loan before we talk to God about it? When we get sick, why do we call the doctor before we ever call on the Lord? Nothing wrong with calling the doctor, but I want to tell you, if you're sick, you ought to call on God. He's our great physician. And then call the doctor. And so if you have a longing tonight for a deeper experience with the Lord and in prayer, or maybe in your witnessing ability, or you need more spiritual confidence, I don't think that you're alone. I think the body of Christ today longs for that experience and that expression. And so I've entitled the message tonight, Draw Me Nearer. Remember that old hymn? Yes. We may even break out and sing that tonight at some point in time along the way. So be ready. So the first thing that I want to say to us tonight about drawing near is you've got to allow God to take full control of your life. I hear people tell me this all the time. All the time. Oh, I wished I knew what God's will was for my life. I hear that constantly. And my first, if they really want to, you know, if folks say that to me, do you know what my response is? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Because you're never going to know God's will unless you're open and ready and willing to do what God wants. And then He's not going to play hide and seek with His will. So just know that tonight, that we've got to be willing to allow the Spirit of God that lives within us to do what He wants to do. All right, look at Ephesians 5 and verse 18 again. Now, well, I tell you what, let's back up to verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, anyone that's drunk from alcohol is under the influence of that alcohol. I mean, people will do things under the influence of alcohol that they would never do ordinarily. Can I get a witness? And it's because they're under the control of that alcohol, see? And so Paul makes the contrast here of being under the control and the influence of alcohol over and against being under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, do you see where it says, but be filled? And I know this doesn't mean anything, but this is a listen to this. This will really impress you. This verb is in the imperative mood, the plural form, the passive voice, and the present tense. Isn't that impressive? You know what that means? It just means that we are, the phrase literally should read, and keep on continually being filled by the Spirit of God. And this passage, there's nothing mystical or magical about being filled by the Spirit of God. It's a command. It's an imperative command. We simply ask God to fill us. And it's in the context of submission. This whole passage is about submission. Hello? Look at it with me. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Did you catch that? Now look at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head. Da, 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 da. And then it says there in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So this whole passage of Scripture, the context of it is being submissive, being willing to surrender, being under the control of another. Are you with me now? And so that's what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God, to be under the control. And in order for you to be, for us to be under the control and the operation of the Spirit, we've got to do something that's un-American. I surrender. You know the song we sang? I surrender. I watch us when we're singing that song. I surrender. We don't even like singing it because that's un-American. I mean, we won't be V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. We got to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We got to do this and we got to do that. Da-da-da-da-da. Y'all with me? That's who we are. That's American, right? But that's not scriptural. We're to yield and be submissive to one another. Wives are to yield and be submissive to their husbands. Men are to be yield and be submissive to the Lord so He can be the kind of leader that His family needs. And so that's what it means to be under the control, to be filled by the Spirit of God. I hope I'm making sense tonight. All right. So, and that phrase, it means to keep on continually being filled. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to be baptized or to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. All right? No command in Scripture. But all throughout the New Testament, the command over and over and over again is to be filled, to be under the control. And so, in the morning, when you get up, first thing you ought to do is, good morning, Lord. Thank you for waking me up. I'm yours this morning. And then you get into the Word and let Him speak to you. And then you pray that Word back to Him. And then you go in and kiss your wife or whatever you do before your day gets started really good. But you spend that first part with the Lord. And you just tell Him. You just say, Lord, Your Word tells me I'm supposed to be filled by Your Spirit. You command me to be filled by Your Spirit. So right now, Lord, just take control of my entire being. Take control of my whole day. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to listen to You. I'm going to do what You say, what You want me to do. I'm going to go where You want me to go. I'm going to be Your man. I'm going to be Your woman. I'm going to walk with You today. Remember me and Diana just walking around here today? This morning, y'all remember that? When you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. So that's what it means to just walk with the Lord all day long. And then when you go to bed at night, you don't have any regrets. You can sleep. As my old deacon, E.D. Miller, used to say, you can sleep on a stormy night because you've been filled by the Spirit of Almighty God each and every day. And so it's surrendering to His leadership, just listening to Him. Just being so saturated and aware of being with God all day long. Am I able to do that all the time? I'm going to be truthful with y'all. I've got to say no. Because my old flesh rears its head sometimes. And you know the devil really knows how to push my buttons. Oh, come on, y'all. But the Spirit of God, greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And so we've got to, first of all, allow the Spirit to take full control of our lives. Lord, I'm at Your disposal today. It's Private Hampton reporting for duty. Okay? But here's where I wanted to get to tonight. Are y'all still with me? All right, let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6. And let me introduce this. So the second and final point, after you have allowed the Spirit to control you and influence you and lead you and speak to you and love you and teach you and do all these things that He wants to do first thing in the morning, you need to appropriate that filling. You need to put it to use, to put it to practice. Okay? And I've got a living, biblical, living, breathing example of that tonight for us. Now, Acts chapter 6, the church is blowing and growing. And now in those days, Acts 6, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. You understand the problem? The problem in the early church is you had all these poor folks coming into the church, widows, orphans. And guess who took care of them? It wasn't Social Security. It was the church. And you had these two groups, the conservative Hebraic Jews from Jerusalem, and then you had these Greek-speaking, the Hellenistic Jews who had been influenced greatly by the Greek culture. And the Hebraic Jews would have probably said the Hellenistic Jews are a little moderate. And so what you've got going on here is the Hellenistic widows, the Greek-speaking Jews, they felt like their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. The church was feeding these families, clothing these families, taking care of these families, and they felt like their widows and their families were being looked over, that they weren't being treated right. And so, man, immediately we've got a powder keg of a problem. The church is about to split wide open. And look what the Spirit of God did. Look at verse 2. Then the 12, now who is that? Summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. And so right there tells you what the main priority of those leaders of the church, the apostles, the preachers of God's Word. What was their main responsibility? Yeah. To preach and to pray. That was their main responsibility. Okay? To leave the Word of God and serve tables. Anything wrong with serving tables? Anything wrong with, making sure everybody's needs are getting met? No. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you, here's their advice, 7 men of good reputation, here it is, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so, the church needed some Spirit-filled men to take care of this problem, to take care of this ministry of serving tables. And this blows me away. I was waiting tables in here 40 years ago. Yeah, Beef and Seed Jack and Shirley Fagan. Y'all, I got my first $100 tip in here 40 years ago. I must have been doing something right that night. Anyways, when you're waiting tables, it takes humility, it takes patience. And by the way, if you're doing anything with the public, how many of you know? It takes an extra measure of grace to do that, right? And so, so these men, they were going to need to be of good reputation. Their character needed to be squeaky clean, and they were. And they were to be full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. That's very significant. And I want you to look, and the church did so well, they chose 7 great guys who were filled by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to look at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Dwight, how would you like your tombstone to read? A man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. What a great description of a godly man. This guy was full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit. He was a man of faith. He did the right thing. And by the way, how many of you know it's always the right time to do the right thing? And that's the kind of man Stephen was. And somehow, when a believer is filled by the Spirit of Almighty God on a regular basis, that person is normally just on fire for God. You know anybody like that? Can you think of them? They're just on fire for God. They're passionate for God. They can't wait to see what God's going to do next. Well, that's the kind of man Philip was. And he's walking in the Spirit, abiding with Christ on a daily basis. Shortly after he was selected, he was cornered by some very zealous Jews. Now look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, I'm in Acts 6, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. You see, that's characteristic of somebody who's Spirit-filled. They're full of faith and they have great power. The verse I read this morning out of Zechariah 4 and verse 6. You remember? Y'all remember? What does that verse say? Not by what? Not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so someone who is filled by the Spirit of Almighty God is a powerful man or woman of God. And they're on fire for God. And that's the way Stephen was. Verse 9. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now listen to this. Verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, at Stephen, saw his face as the face of an angel. He had the Shekinah shine of God on him. He was just glowing for God. And they couldn't dispute anything. And they started telling lies against him, bringing false witnesses against him, testifying. Who does this remind you of? Yeah, that's what happened to Jesus, wasn't it? And so, in the face of this murderous crowd, their anger had now turned to, they want to kill him. They want to get rid of him. And they brought false witness and false evidence against him. But Stephen was bold as a lion. He was confident. And he was under the full control of the Holy Spirit. And the crowd just kept growing more hostile and more hostile and more hostile against him. And yet, this thing is popping. And if it keeps it up, we'll change directions here in a minute. See, I tell you, the devil doesn't like this preaching on the Holy Spirit. He does not like it. Somebody who's filled by the Spirit of Almighty God is confident, courageous, and they're always cool as a cucumber under fire. Why? How so? Yeah, the Spirit of God's at work, see? And he preaches. This is one of the five. When you get home tonight, read this sermon. It's one of the finest sermons I've ever read in my life. And he's unintimidated by the folks that want to get rid of him, this zealous Jewish crowd. And the scene gets real ugly. Look at chapter 7 and verse 54. Well, I tell you what, just to show you how bold he is, jump back to verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Hello. He's talking to the church crowd here now, folks. All right? You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. How do you do that? What does that tell you about them? Yes, furious. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, let me just park right there for just a second, can I? Now, with the hot wind of murder sweeping through the council, Stephen didn't shake. He didn't tremble. He didn't back up one inch. He's full of the Holy Spirit of God. And he looked up, and who does he see? The glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's Jesus doing? Well, when Jesus got back to heaven, what did Jesus do? He sat down. Where? And so in this vision, Stephen's under heavy persecution, and he looks up and he sees the Lord Jesus standing in his honor. And so I've got to ask the question, if Stephen saw him standing up, I wonder if Jesus still stands up for Spirit-filled men and women today. I haven't got a great answer for that tonight. But what I can tell you is that Spirit-filled believers have the power to witness things no one else can see during times of crisis. Did you hear what I just said? Spirit-filled believers in times of trial and tribulation and in times of crisis, those Spirit-filled believers can see what the Lord really wants to do in those days. I think of the men of Issachar. They understood the times. And I will tell you, Second Mile Church needs some men and women today who understand what we're dealing with and who will be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God on a regular basis and walk in holiness and patience and peace and be who God's called us to be. Somebody say amen. Man, can we get a witness on that tonight? And so Stephen looks up and he sees the Lord, the glory of God, standing. And then this crowd surround. Well, let me read. Verse 56. And said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, "Stop their ears." And next time I see somebody doing this, "Na na 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 na," I'm going to think about this passage of Scripture. Oh, it's crazy what you think of, isn't it? And they stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. I think this impacted Saul. I think he never, ever forgot about this incident. He saw what a Spirit-filled believer looks like and acts like and talks like. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen. And as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. As the rocks are coming down on him, as they're raining down on him and killing him, he looks up and he says, "Lord, I'm coming home. This is it for me. But Father, don't blame them for their sin. They don't understand. They don't get it." Whew. Supernatural ability to deliver a message in the face of tremendous opposition. "But Brother Cal, I won't know what to say." Don't tell me that anymore. If you're filled by the Spirit of Almighty God, you're going to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Whether you're going next door to witness to a neighbor, or whether you're putting up with a boss nobody wants to put up with, God will give you what you need when you need it. Amen? If you're under the control and the influence of the Spirit of God. And that's what it looks like Stephen. Somebody who is bold, they're courageous, they're not obnoxious, but they're truthful, they're prophetic, they're passionate, and they love God's people. And they love others. And they're willing to do whatever God wants them to do. And so here he is, offering praise to God and words of forgiveness. Who does this remind you of? Jesus. How in the world is Stephen doing that? Because he's got the Spirit of Jesus within him. He's already been filled. That's what he needed to become a deacon. Hello? So if you've got the Spirit of Jesus in you, if you're in Christ, you can have this same feeling that Stephen had. "Well, now, Brother Cal, you just don't know me well enough. I can't do those kind of things." Oh, really? Turn to 1 John with me. 1 John. Where is 1 John? Thank you. 1 John chapter 2. You can have exactly what he had. Are you ready for this? Verse 20. 1 John 2. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Jump down to verse 27. "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, But as the same anointing teaches you, who's he talking about there? The Holy Spirit. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. And as we abide in him, as we walk with him, as we talk with him, as we follow his leadership, the Holy Spirit of God come. I can't even explain how it happens, but have you ever been somewhere and you just knew that you knew that you knew that the Spirit and the presence of Almighty God was with you? Some of you have never had that experience. Well, bless God, you can. Anyone can have it that's in Christ. And we ought to have it on a regular basis, because it comes by appropriating the Spirit that Paul was talking about in Ephesians 5:18. You'll have discernment. You'll have an inner compass. You'll have a holy boldness. You'll have holy courage. You'll have tremendous wisdom, an inner sense of invincibility. Why? Because you'll have the anointing of God on your life if you're filled by the Spirit of Almighty God on a regular basis. Are we experiencing that kind of power? Are you experiencing that kind of power? Well, you can. Every single day of your life, you can. You can have this anointing. And it comes by faith. Lord, good morning. I can't wait to get up out of this bed. This is the day that you have made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And your word tells me I need to be filled in order to do the things you want me to do. So right now, Holy Spirit, fill me. Take control of my attitudes. Take control. I submit and surrender and yield my spirit to you and my judgmental, critical spirit. God, just take control of my life. Fill me, every fiber of my being. Fill me with your spirit. Give me divine appointments today. Would you, Lord, just touch me with an anointing? Help me to shine for you wherever I go today. Put the Moses shine on my face. Help people to see Jesus in me today. Would you do that today for me, Lord? And then you just start walking with him all day long, every day. It took me a long time to figure all that out. And I fail sometimes because I give in to my flesh. But under God tonight, I can tell you, I'm a better man today than I was 35 years ago. Am I a better man than I was 5 minutes ago? Who knows? Probably not. But you see, the longer you walk with God and the more you're under His Spirit, the more God changes you and blesses you and makes you more like Him. And then one day, it'll come time for you to head home. And I don't know if persecution's coming our way. I think it probably is. Because every time persecution comes to the church explodes in growth. One of the worst things is prosperity for the church. Why? Because we act like we don't need God anymore. And so it could be that persecution's coming, but that's okay, because if it does, we can still get that anointing and we can still get that filling, and we can look up and there's Jesus standing. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Welcome home. I am thine, O Lord. Y'all sing with me. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Father, would you send that anointing our way? We desperately need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. Thank you for sending your Spirit here amongst us and blessing us with this great truth from your Word. Thank you for the example of old Stephen. And Lord, I don't know how I'm going to leave here. I have no clue. But I sure would like to see the glory of God as I leave this place. And in the meantime, help me to shine for Jesus, that others might see the glory in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.